I tell you, just when you think it doesn't get any better, I just anticipate being with you so much every week, and I miss you when you're not here. But it's good to see you today, and we are so glad to have you and welcome you so much here at Destiny Church. I'm excited about the rest of this year and what God's going to be doing. And we're so thrilled to have you as a part of this body, and we're so thankful for you and your family, faithful in your giving and faithful in your attendance. It just amazes me as we see what God has done so far in the short time we've started the church, and we know that the best is still yet to come. How many believe that? Jumbotron and all, the best is still yet to come, right? If you missed last week, you'll have to get that tape to hear that story. Anyway, well, today is a special day, and so look out. I see a lot of special people here today, but today is my mother-in-law's birthday. Where you at, Mom? Over there, yeah. I was thinking, what could I do to honor my mother-in-law today? And I thought about a story I was reminded of about mother-in-laws, and I thought I would say this to her in her honor today. But she hears a story about this is a true story about a guy who went to Israel and said, you know what, my mother-in-law's been so good, I'm going to take her to Israel to see the Holy Lands. And they went on a trip to the Holy Lands to Israel, and they were touring the Holy Lands, and she was just so excited to walk where Jesus had walked and to see the things that had been taught in Scripture, and she was so excited. But one night when it was there, she just passed in her sleep. She fell asleep and never woke up, and she died while she was in Israel. And so this son-in-law had a decision to make in his life. What do I do? You know, she's died over here. And he went to the coroner's office and to the funeral home and talking to them. They said, listen, if you want to bury her here in Israel, they said it only cost you $500 to do the whole funeral and to bury her here in Israel. But if you want to send her back to the States, it's going to cost you $30,000. $30,000 to send her back to the States and bury her there in the States. He said, man, it's a tough decision. $500, $30,000. And he prayed about it, and he came back to the guy, and he said, listen, I've been thinking about it, and, you know, and $500 sure would save me a lot of money. It saved me, you know, almost $30,000 if I was a burier here. But I was thinking and praying last night, and I remember the story about a man who was buried here one time, and in 3 days he rose from the dead. And I just cannot take that chance, so I'm going to send her back to America. I love you, Mom. Okay, that's just for you. All right. If you got your Bibles today, turn them open to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Today we're talking about change. How many are ready to change? Hey, that's better than last time. Last time we had two. This time we had four. Let me ask you again. How many are ready to change? All right. Change is not easy, as we discussed over the last several weeks, and this is why we take a long time in this series. It's going to be a series we take our time in, because I believe that change is not something that just comes just like this. It's something that's a process, especially in our mind and our spirits. We're making a decision to change. Sometimes there's layers that we peel back, and there's things we have to deal with, and we decide we're going to change, and as soon as we decide we're going to change, things happen, and we have other issues to deal with and other things to get through. But I believe it's such an important part of our Christian walk with God is that we do not become complacent. We allow God to grow us. We see throughout Scripture, and it supports that we are called to grow in our relationship with Christ. He compares it to the baby growing up, that our Christian walk is at some point we get off milk and we take on solid foods and begin to grow. And we're continually reminded throughout Scripture that Jesus grew in his knowledge with other people and with the knowledge of God and his relationship with God. And so if Jesus is called to grow, then you and I are, how much even more are you and I called to grow in our relationship with God? And so today we're talking about letting God change us, part 6, which is this is the title today. What do you do when you run into a wall? Anybody ever ran into a wall before? It's not an easy thing, is it? And many times, this is what happens. It's like the children of Israel. We see the story. The children of Israel had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. I mean, they had crossed over, and then they were punished. They had to stay there for 40 years wandering in the desert. And finally, God says, all right, Joshua, I'm going to lead. You're going to lead this generation, as I promised. You're going to lead this generation over to take possession of the land that I promised you and the children of Israel. Get them up. Let's go. And, of course, he parsed the Red Sea with Moses, and he parsed the Red Sea, the Jordan River, with Joshua to prove himself to Joshua. And they cross over. Hallelujah, we're taking the land. Let's go for it. They're rallying the troops. It's time for change. After 40 years of wandering around in the desert, after 40 years of being out here and seeing people die off of sickness, finally we're going to possess. We're going to change. We're going to do something that God has promised us to do. Let's go for it. You know, they charge, you know, they're taking off, and they go, And what's the first thing they do? They come to a city that has 30-foot walls. Wow, I mean, the first thing they come to is a city with 30, and God says, this is your city. This is the city you're going to overtake. This is the land I've given you. And you're like, thanks, God. Wow, I think it looks good over there. You know, can't see it, can't get through it. As we study about the Jericho walls, they tell us that these walls were actually 6 foot thick and 30 feet high. And there was in between, there was actually two layers. There was one layer, a 6 foot thick layer with 30 feet high, and then there was about 10 to 12 feet, they believe, between the walls, and then another 6 foot layer of wall, 30 feet high. So, I mean, you're talking about a barrier that was built to keep people out. And God says, I want you to go do something for me. Here it is. This is the land I got for you. And you run right into a wall. I mean, talk about a joy kill right there. Yeah. Joshua, any more bright ideas? You know, are you sure you heard from God? But God sometimes runs you into a wall. And sometimes in our life, when we get ready to change, that's the way it is. All right, God, I'm going to change. And we make a decision. I'm going to get out of my rut. I'm going to break out of this rut. I've been wandering the desert 40 years. I've been doing the same thing after the same thing. I'm going to change. And I believe today that some of you have already begun to make that decision in your life and in your heart that you're going to change. But as soon as you do, it's like you'll run right smack into a wall and say, all right, now what, God? Now what? What do you do when you run into a wall? I'm going to read this text to you today. It's quite lengthy, so let's read it together in Joshua 6. We're going to read Joshua 6, 1 through 3, then skip to verse 6 and go to 6 through 16. Verse 1 says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all the strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Verse 6 says, so Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. Verse 8 says, after Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the Ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. And Joshua said this to them, do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night at the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. Verse 13 says, and then the 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they'd done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast of the horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. So what's the first thing we do when we hit a wall? We're going to look at this story and follow what the Israelites did here when they hit a wall. First thing they did, number one, was listen to instruction. When you hit a wall in your life and you don't feel like, what do I do next? How am I going to change? How am I going to get over? We see right here, what did Joshua do? It's a few verses before this in Joshua 5:14. Joshua was getting close to Jericho, and it says that he got close and he saw a guy he thought was his enemy, and he said he drew a sword. And the angel was actually, he realized it was the angel of the Lord. And he said, he fell on his face. Listen to what he said to him. He says, at this point, Joshua fell on his face on the ground in reverence. He said, I am your command. Listen, I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? When you hit a wall in your life, what a better place to start than to fall on your knees and say, God, what are you saying? God, what would you have me to do? But many times, what do? We run out, we hit the wall, and we're like, all right, wall in the face, can't go nowhere, can't get over the wall, can't get around the wall, can't get through the wall, must not be God's will. All right, God, I tried to change, but all right, that's it. I give up. I can't do it. Look at the size of this wall. Have you ever been there before? When you hit a wall, you feel like you cannot get over. What do you do when you run into those things in your life that seem to stop you from advancing what God has you to do? Joshua fell to his knees and said, Lord of hosts, what would you have me to do? But the problem is this. You know what we do? We hit a wall and we'll call up so-and-so. Hey, what do you think I should do? Hey, what? You call this person. You call that person. We look for advice to so many people. How many times do we really stop and say, God, what are you saying? How many times do we stop and say, God, what do you speak to my life? God, what are you speaking to me? Oh, we're good about hearing other people. We'll call other people. What would you do if you was me? How would you do this? And not that people can't encourage you and give you good advice. But listen, if you want to get past a wall in your life, sometimes you got to stop and say, God, what are you saying to me? God, what is it? This wall is here for a reason. What are you wanting to teach me? God, what are you wanting to help me get through? And for many of you, that same wall seems to always appear in your life. That every time you do good or every time you're doing well, all of a sudden that same wall will pop up. And I say to ourselves and to you, I say to this, listen, what is this lesson that God's wanting me to learn? Because I seem to always go through the same test. God, I got to learn to pass this test because every time I do anything, the same test follows me around. That's for a reason, because God is wanting to teach you something. God is wanting to teach me something. So we will face the same test over and over and over again until we learn. Say, God, all right, God, what are you saying? And it takes a lot of times it takes us to humble ourselves to do that because we think we can do it on our own. God, I got a plan. I know how to get past this wall. And you bust through the wall. You worked hard to bust through the wall, and there's another wall waiting right there to stare you in the face. I mean, you're waiting right there. God, what are you saying? We have too many people who are running around and saying, I got this opinion over here, and this over here, and this over here, and this person said this, and I was watching Christian television. They told me to do this. My pastor said to do this. They said to do this. My mom said to do this. My neighbor said to do this. My coworker said to do this. What's God saying? I don't know what God's saying. Well, maybe you should do a little thing called open the Bible. What is this? What is this called? The Bible. What is it? God's holy word. Every word is breathed and inspired by God. Sometimes we stop and we say, I don't hear anything. Well, I say, open up the word of God. He's already spoke. Let the scriptures come alive to you. Let the scripture come alive. So many times in my life as I'm reading the word of God, not only is the word of God give me direction, but as I'm obedient to putting in the word of God in my heart, then even fresh things God speaks to me. That I know this came from God. God, you're speaking something fresh to my life. This is how I get past this problem. This is how I get past this wall in my life. We've got to stop and say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? The second thing we do when we come to a wall, you want to get around it. You got to be willing to do the foolish. Look at what it says here in Joshua 6:7. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. I mean, you're talking about something that seems very foolish. All right, here's your leader, Joshua, saying, all right, guys, you see this 30-foot wall? And it's 6 foot thick here, and then there's another one waiting behind just like it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to march around it 6 times. And on the 7th day, we're going to march around it 7 times. And we're going to blow the horn, and the whole thing's going to fall. All right, Joshua. You know, what have you been doing? You know, what's Joshua even thinking? What's Joshua dreaming here? What's he doing? What's he smoking? You know, that's the first thing I would think. What's going on here? That makes no sense at all. But Joshua had heard from the Lord. But Joshua had instruction from God. And when God had spoke to him on what to do, he gave commands to his people. Listen, this is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. This is how we're going to get past this wall. This is what's going to happen. We're going to march around it 6 times, and on the 7th day, we're going to march around it 7 times. And then we're going to shout to God, and the walls are going to come down. Okay, Joshua, sounds good to me. Let's do it. I mean, I can imagine as they were marching around those walls. Can you imagine walking around those walls? All right. That's a big wall. 30 feet. Wow. All right, but 6 times. 6 times for us to march around this wall. Boy, it's a big wall. Can you imagine the people who were guarding the wall looking down going, look at them. Boy, they're really dangerous, aren't you? Hey, be careful. You might hurt us down there. I mean, you're talking about feeling foolish. You're talking about feeling like, man, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. But yet they were willing to be obedient to what God had called them to do. They were willing to do what God had asked them to do. They were willing to do the foolish thing to see God work in their life. Sometimes God asks us to do foolish things. As we're getting this video ready today to show you, I'm going to show you a clip out of a movie that's just been released. It's called Facing the Giants. And there's a coach in here who's never had a winning season in 6 years. And he's just really getting tired of losing and being apathetic. And so he's been praying for direction from God. And in this movie, he gets direction from God on how to lead his team. And there's a point in this movie at practice time where he kind of faces one-on-one with some of his team who are discouraged and pretty much don't want to win. And he asks them to do something foolish to prove a point. And I want to show this point to you here.
Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50. I can go the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your buddy to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
Your arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! No, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
I've got to 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Huh?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
Taller 160.
Powerful clip as we see the coach stepping out and doing something there that seems kind of foolish to ask his player to do. The more impressive his player agreed to do it, to be blindfolded. And in both of their attempts to do something foolish, they did something they never had done before. And, you know, God so many times works in our way, this in our lives this way, where we see where he asks us to do things that seem foolish, but he's trying to take us to a place that we don't see. He's trying to push us beyond where we're at, of our comfort zone. He's trying to get us to change. He's trying to get us through the wall or over the wall or bust the wall. He's trying to get you to a place. He's trying to take you. He'll ask you to do something that seems foolish. But God uses that. Word of God says that he uses what? The things of the foolish to do what? To bring wisdom. Yes, he does. He does that. And he brings to our lives, and he asks us to do things that are foolish many times to take us to a place of obedience. It's not about doing the foolish thing and because the foolish thing brings us where we need to be. It's because God's testing us to see, are we willing to do something that we are uncomfortable with doing? It seems kind of funny to do to us. Doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do. Doesn't seem like it's the right answer. But God, you're telling it. We listen to you. You say to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. Even though I've never done it this way before, even though people may think I'm kind of silly for doing it this way, people may think I've fallen off my rocker for doing this way. God, if you said to do it, and I stop and I've listened to you, then I'm going to do it. They were willing to do the foolish. I'm reminded of the story of Amy Semple McPherson, who is the founder of Foursquare, a woman who was called to preach, and she said, I cannot preach, God. Back in the 19-teens, she was called to preach, and she said, God, I cannot preach. I'm a woman. No one ever listens to a woman, especially back then. A preacher, just is not going to happen. And so she gets married and goes to the mission field in China, and her husband dies of malaria. And she comes back, has children, comes back to America. And God says, I want you to preach. And she says, God, I can't preach. I got children. My husband's dead. How am I going to preach? And pretty soon she finds herself in the hospital also, and she is giving up to die and is put in hospice care. And she tells God in that room, she says, God, if you'll heal me, I'll preach. I'll do what you want me to do. And they said within 24 hours, she walked out of the hospital, healed completely. And she said, all right, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And she was remarried with a Christian man, and they began to evangelize and to spread the gospel. And as she spread the gospel, her husband said, you know what? You depend on God way more than you depend on me. He goes, I'm going to see you. Bye. And he abandoned her and the children. So here's a woman in the 19-teens, been married twice, is not married now with children. and says she wants to be a preacher. Now, that's hard in today's society, more or less back in the 19-teens. Think of the impossible things that she faced. But God told her to do it. She said, all right, God. She sat in her car, began to go out, and she would stop and have a meeting out of her car, and it would grow. People were healed and saved, and it would grow and would move into maybe a bigger facility. And everywhere she went, God was just moving in great power, people being miraculously healed and saved. And as she made her way across the country preaching, she made her way to Hollywood. And as she was in Hollywood, someone gave her a house, and God said, I want you to build a church right here in Hollywood. All right, God, here's a woman, preacher, been married twice, not married now, and you called her to preach, and she's going to build a church in Hollywood, of all places. All right, God, sounds like it's going to happen, right? She had a whopping $5,000, which was a lot of money back then, but the vision she had was for a church of 8,000 people that would seat 8,000 people. And she hired a contractor outside of Echo Park there in Hollywood and said, this is the plans. I want to build a church that seats 8,000 people that can have all these different things going on. And she goes, here's $5,000 to get started. And the guy looked at her and laughed and said, lady, $5,000 will only dig you the hole for this building. She said, you dig the hole, God will fill it. And within 4 years, the place was paid off completely. And nightly, it was filling up five to seven times a week. The building was filling up with people who were coming, being saved, who were being healed. And it went on for just years as God's presence was moving there. Charlie Chapman came to that place and got saved. It was actually building sets, because she didn't know that. Charlie Chapman came and got saved there. And they would build sets. And he said, your sets are better than Hollywood's. She rode Harley Davidson's on to the stage back in the 19-teens and 20s. You're talking about cutting edge. She was coming out and doing things. And out of that grew a training facility. And out of that grew a Bible college. And because they had graduates, they sent them overseas. And now they have a mission field. And they were sending missionaries out. And now they have, you know, went from one church to now they have over just thousands, even 30,000 churches worldwide already. Because of one woman who said, you know what, God, I'll do the foolish. I'll do the foolish. What is it that God's asking you to do that seems impossible? God didn't never would hear me. God, they'll never listen to me. God, I can never listen. With God, all things are possible. And when he asks you to do something, even though it may seem impossible, even though it may seem foolish, if God is behind you and God has spoken to you, blessed assured, know this, that God will make a way. And God will always provide the way when he has spoken to you. The third thing today is we got to learn to march in silence. Got to learn to march in silence. When you hit a wall, sometimes there's a time in your life when you got to learn to march in silence. Look what it says here in Joshua 6:10. Joshua's speaking to them. He says, do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. And many times in our life when we're going through a battle, we're going through a wall in our life, we hit this wall and we're wanting to change. And we hit this wall, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to start calling everybody up. This is what's going on. This is what I'm going through. This is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. Look at this wall. Look at the size of this problem. Look at the size of what's happening. And we talk, and we want to go through. And listen, sometimes you just got to learn to be quiet. Sometimes you got to learn to be still and quiet before the Lord and learn to march in silence. There's times in my life when I know that I'm going through something in my life, and I know that the answer is just ahead, and I know that God has got somewhere. He's wanted to take me, take my family, take his church, and I get quiet sometimes. And my wife, she knows that, and she'll look at me, and she goes, okay. She'll say, you know what? There's something going on. There's something. She senses it in her spirit. There's something going on in my husband because God's doing something in his life because he's quiet. And she knows that sometimes I'm quieter than other times because God's speaking to me, and I'm dwelling on what he's speaking to me. I'm going through it in my mind and my heart. I'm trying to comprehend the word that he spoke to me. I'm trying to comprehend to where he's taking me, where he's taking the church. And she knows that I'm walking through a quiet time, and she doesn't think I'm just clamming up because I'm mad at her. She knows that I'm walking through what God is doing in my life. Sometimes you got to walk through a time of just being quiet and saying, God, yes, you speak to me, God. God, I told you what I wanted. I told you what I needed. I told you what I want to do. But God, now, tonight I need to shut up so I can hear you, God. We don't say that word shut up in our home, by the way. But anyway, but sometimes we got to be quiet and let God speak to us. I got to learn to march in silence. Why is that important that we march in silence? Because when I march in silence, that I build my faith. When I march in silence, I'm learning to be obedient to God. I'm sure it would have been easy to say, those guys up there throwing things at him, laughing at him, mocking him. It would have been easy to say, hey, you just wait till the seventh day, buddy. His wall's coming down in your mind. I mean, it would have been easy up there mouthing off. It would have been easy to express some things. It would have been easy to be walking in line and go, pfft, did you hear what Joshua said? He thinks his thing's going to fall down. But no, they marched in silence. And I imagine as they marched in silence, the Holy Spirit, each person who marched in faith and who marched in silence, that God was speaking to them, you're going to see something great in your midst. You're about to see a miracle take place. You hang on. You hang on. There's change coming. There's something that's going to happen great and mighty in your life. Sometimes we got to be still and hear God's voice in our life. We're so busy, and we're doing so much, and when we want to change, and we want to run and hear everybody else talk to us, but we can't stop and hear God. Listen to instruction and march. Sometimes you just got to march in silence. Marching in silence takes a lot sometimes. And the fourth thing, sometimes you got to learn to march in faith. March in faith. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. Not only do you got to learn to march in silence, many times when you want to get past the walls you're through, sometimes you got to learn to march in faith. All right, God, I'm marching around this wall 6 times. All right. I'm believing that, God, you are going to do what you said you're going to do. I look foolish, but I've heard your word. God, I'm doing some things that I don't necessarily understand. I don't know how you're going to bring these walls down. I have no idea. But, God, I'm marching in silence, and now I'm going to march in faith. And knowing that, God, as I'm obedient to what you told me to do, that, God, you are going to make a way to bring these walls down in my life. God, I'm learning to walk in faith. Why is it important that we learn to walk in faith? Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. You know what? It's really easy to grow in your relationship with God when the music's going, and we're strong, or we're worshiping, and man, the presence of God is strong. Those are the easy times to raise your hands and go, oh, God, it's so good. They're singing my song. Oh, some of you like to crack up, you know, from week to week. They're singing, worthy is the Lamb. That's my favorite song. Hallelujah. Can you hear the angelic choir? That's good. We all have our songs, and we all have songs that we prefer and worship. I'm not discrediting that at all, but that's an easy time to yield when the presence of God is so strong. But how about when the music's off? How about when you get up on tomorrow morning and it's time to go back to another hard work week, and, man, you got to face that tough boss, and you got to face your bills today, and you got to face things that are going on, and you got a work crew that doesn't want to do what you need to do, and you got things going on at work, and you got a doctor's appointment this week, and you got therapy, and you got other things going on. And boy, how much harder is it then to say, all right, God, but I know that you've got an answer for me, God. And God, I know as I face this week, there's some walls in my life I got to get through, but I'm going to learn to trust you. I'm going to quit complaining about them, quit talking about them, and say, God, I'm listening. God, you're going to guide me. You're going to lead me over this wall. God, you're going to help me get through this. And I'm going to learn to march in silence, keep my mouth shut, quit talking so much negative things, and be quiet and march in faith, saying, God, all right, the answer is on its way. The answer is going to happen. And God, I'm walking in faith. Even so, I love you. Even so, I'm going to serve you. Even so, yeah, this wall's here. God, if this wall never comes down, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be obedient to you. I'm still going to do what you've asked me to do. Because that's when I grow the most. That's when I learn to walk on faith, not on emotion. Because my emotions get charged at times, and we are emotional beings, so that happens. That's going to happen. We're emotional people. So sometimes our emotions get worked up, and sometimes we're moved by emotions. But the Word of God says that our emotions are like the waves of the sea. And the person who trusts in his emotions like the wave of the sea is going to be tossed and turned. One day you're up, one day you're down. Next day you're up, next day you're down. You're going to live your life like this, seasick all the time. But see, when I learn to march in faith and silence, I get beyond the wave and I make it to the shore and I'm walking on level ground. All right, God, whether the waves come, whether they go up or down, I'm going to march in faith in you. What a powerful time of growth. And God, many times I believe in my heart, there's the most in your life is through those times. The most times in my life I felt the most growth is when I didn't feel like it. When I didn't feel like I wanted to do what was right. When I didn't feel like I needed to do some things in my life, but I did it anyway by faith. And I marched in silence and I marched in faith. It's when I came through that, I said, wow, look where I went. I remember a time in my life where because I didn't feel it, I'd have done something totally different. But God, my love for you is so strong that even so, I'm going to stand for you. Even so, I'm going to be obedient to you. Even when I don't feel it, God, I'm going to march for you. And it's in those times that I grow the most. And you look back and you say, wow, I'm changing. I'm growing. Why is that? Because I'm learning to march in silence. I'm learning to march even when I see the wall in front of me. I'm learning to be obedient to what God says to me. I'm learning to do things that seem foolish in my life. But God is teaching me. God is growing me. God is taking me to a new level. And the last thing we see they did here, how do you get through your wall or over your wall, is this. You got to learn to give out a shout. Learn to give out a shout. Look what it says here in Joshua 6:20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. So they're marching in silence six times. And on the seventh day, they march around in silence seven times. And when they completed that task of marching around seven times in silence, the Word of God says, now, you're going to let the horns and the ram's horns, many things, are going to shout out, and you're going to give out the biggest shout of praise to God you've ever done in your life. That seems kind of foolish, doesn't it? I've been silent for six times. Now, on the seventh time around, we're going to shout out a praise to God. All right, God, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it anyway. And can you imagine the faith that takes a shout out like that? Can you imagine the faith that takes to say, all right, God, hallelujah! Let down a shout of praise to God, even though the wall's still staring you right there in the face. I mean, you're shouting that God's giving you the city, but the wall's still staring you right in the face. Sometimes you're going to come to your life when you've walked in silence and you've walked in faith and you've done some things that seem foolish and you've done some things when you hear God's voice and God's going to say, all right, now I want you to begin to praise me for the answer. I want you to begin to praise me because I am doing something on your behalf. You are changing. You've been obedient. It's time for a breakthrough in your life, and I'm about to send something to your life that's going to change you, that's going to rock your boots, that's going to answer your prayer, that's going to bring down your wall. And even though you see the wall in your face, there's going to come a time in your life where God says, give a shout anyway. And by faith, you say, hallelujah, Lord. God, I refuse to be silent. God, I'm going to give you the praise anyway, even though the wall is staring me right in the face, even though my problem, my hangups, the things I'm dealing with are right here. Even so, God, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to shout out. I refuse to be silent any longer. And it's in those times when God stirs something up in you. I had those times when I just knew that I had to do that. I had to get out, and I had to just begin to cry out to God and say, all right, God, I've been walking in obedience. God, I've been walking in faith. I've been walking in silence. Now, there's something happening in my spirit. I know the time has come for me to move beyond this wall. The time has come for me to take a new step, and I begin to praise the Lord. I begin to shout unto God with a voice of praise. I begin to shout and say, God, you are worthy. And I begin to see that thing begin to fall, the wall begin to fall. Right before their eyes. The Word of God says that 30 foot of the wall. It didn't crumble, but it fell straight into the ground, intact. I mean, talk about a miracle. Talk about an awesome thing. Oh, that's not true. Yes, it is. Look it up. In 1952, they found the wall. They had pictures to prove the wall's still there, buried, intact, just as the Bible described. It's a proven scientific fact. The walls of Jericho came down 30 feet high, 6 feet deep, two of them wide, came down straight into the ground on a shout of the praise. What are you going through in your life today? What's the wall you're hitting in your life today? As the musicians and praise team comes this morning, I want to ask you that question. What is it you're going through in your life today? What is it you're going through that you seem to always hit that wall in your life? You seem to always come to a place where you feel like, I want to change, and as I change, I just seem to always, boom, boom, bat up against that same wall, that same problem, that same hang-up in my life, the same fear, same unforgiveness, same habit, same addiction. What is this always seem to hit? Boom, that wall's right there. And I know God wants me to get past it, and I know I need to get past it, but it just seems like I just can't. It seems so much bigger than I am. What is it in your life today? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads a second. I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor James, you're speaking, I realize, man, there's some walls in my life. There's some walls in my life that I've allowed to build up there. And as you're speaking, I realize that, man, I've got to learn to get past these things. I want to learn to change. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Gene, I want to learn to get past my wall. I want to learn to stop and listen to God's voice. I want to learn what it means to do the foolish when God asks me to do things I don't understand. I want to learn what it means to march in faith and march in silence. I want to learn what it means to give God a shout of victory, even though the wall still staring me right in the face. If that's you, God's speaking to you today in this message, can you just raise your hands and say, Pastor, that's me? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, several hands. Anybody else today? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to give you a chance to respond to what God's speaking to your heart. Thank you, thank you. You say, that's me, Pastor. And you're speaking right to me. Yeah, thank you. Several hands today. They're going up. That's me. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to invite you to do something that seems a little foolish today. Some of you are going to say, Pastor, that's not me. That's all right. Sometimes God asks you to do something that's not you. Today I'm going to say a prayer over you, especially those who raised their hands. But I want you in your mind, I want you to begin to think about the thing, the wall that is there in your life. I want you to begin to think about the wall that continues to rise up and face you right in the face. But if we were honest, every one of us have those walls there. I mean, there's no one here who doesn't have a wall. Come on, just quit playing games. All of us have them. They're there. So how are we going to get past it? First of all, we admit it. Yeah, my wall's there. And then we begin to be obedient to what God's word says. There's a reason why he left the story in there. There's a reason why he left us these stories when people have these problems, so we can learn how to deal with them spiritually in our life. So I'm going to pray a prayer over you today. At the close of this prayer, we're going to give God the biggest shout of praise we've ever given him for here in this church. And as we do that, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to shout to God. I want you to clap to God. I want you just to get out a scream, a yell to God as a shout to him. And I want you to see yourself. I want you to see the wall in front of you. I want you spiritually in your mind to see that wall in front of you beginning to come down as the praises go up. I want you to begin to see those things coming down in your life that have held you back. Those things that are keeping you from advancing forward in God's kingdom. The things that are keeping you back from the promises that God has for you in your life. Whether it be your marriage, whether it be your family, whether it be your own personal life. What is it that is keeping you back? I want you to begin to see those things spiritually right now as I'm speaking in your life. I want you to envision that. Say, God, what is that wall in my life that continues to, what is that addiction that continues to come up in my face? What is that problem that I seem to always face? What is that test that I never seem to pass? What is it that I'm continually to hit? And God, today I want to do something, Lord. I want something a little more radical. I want to learn, God, to give out a shout to you, Lord. And as we shout out to God today, I want you to envision that wall coming down as the praises go up. I want you to envision that thing coming down in your life, that wall beginning to come down in your life, saying, God, I'm going to march with you. God, I'm going to listen to your voice. God, I'm going to praise you even though the wall stares me in the face. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to quit talking about it so much to everybody else and learn to listen to your voice. Just be quiet and listen to God directing me. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do worship you today, God, and knowing that, God, you are the answer, Lord, to the walls that we face in our life. We know that, God, you are bigger than any wall we could ever face. You're bigger than any addiction we could ever face. You're bigger than any problem, any unforgiveness, any health issue, God, any financial issue, God, any emotional issue, any physical issue, God. Whatever continues to face us in our problems that can continue, God, to rise up and to stop us from advancing into the kingdom of God. Lord, today I pray that, Father, those things are going to come down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person, especially who raised their hands today, is that, God, they're dealing with walls continuing in their life. Father, I pray right now through the Spirit of God, Lord, you begin to us visualize these walls. Lord, let's begin to see these walls in the spirit realm, God. God, no wall is too big for you. No wall, Lord, is too big to keep you, Lord, from doing what you want to do in our lives. Lord, today we're going to learn to give you praise. We're going to learn to do the foolish sometimes. We're going to learn to vocalize our praise. But God, we're not going to be a people silent. Ministers have been silent way too long. But today, God, we're going to learn, Lord, to give out a shout of praise. Today, God, we're going to learn to give you a voice and rise up our voice, God. May it be heard, Lord, in the heavenlies today. God, may our voices begin to rise and release the ministering angels, God. This is spiritual warfare, God, as we raise up our praise and raise up the prayer and raise up the song of the Lord. Lord, your word of God, as we raise them up, God, our enemies must be scattered, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, on the count of three, we're going to give you the biggest praise we've ever given you with our instruments, with our microphones, with our hands, with our voices. And, God, as we visualize, Lord, these walls coming down in our life, God, these problems that we continue to face, God, coming down as we give you praise. God, we're taking spiritual authority over this wall. We're taking spiritual authority over this problem. We're taking spiritual authority over this addiction. We're taking spiritual authority over some forgiveness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are not going to be defined by our wall any longer. We are not going to be stopped back from our wall any longer. We're not going to be, Lord, stop advancing, God, because of our wall. But God, we're going to go forward in the name of the Lord. We're going to go forward in your name, Father. So, Father, in the name of three, we're going to give you the biggest praise we can give you, Father. One, you deserve all glory, Lord. You deserve all honor. Two, Lord, our hearts are lifted to you. Lord, we're going to see our walls coming down as the praises go up. And three, we're going to give you a shout of praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. God, you're bringing down walls, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. You're bringing down walls, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. May God arise. May God arise and his enemies be scattered. Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. May God arise. May God arise and your enemies be scattered. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we are people of praise. We are people of victory. God, we're people of promise. We're advancing in the kingdom of God. Lord, we are not going to be silent any longer. But Father, we're going to give you praise. Give you praise today, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless your name, Father. We bless your name, Lord. Yeah. Let the praise of your people, Lord, sound. Lord, may the praise of the people sound in this place today. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. May you rise in this place today, Jesus. May you rise in this place, Father. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, may these walls come down, Lord, in Joplin, in the Fourth State area, God. May walls begin to come down in this city. May the walls of this city come down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name! In Jesus' name! In Jesus' name! Bring down those walls that have held us back, God. The spirit of darkness must leave at the praise of the people. The spirit of darkness must leave in the praise of the people. Hey. Hallelujah, Lord. Addiction must leave. Perversion must leave. Healing must take place. Father, in the praise of your people, change must take place. Forgiveness must take place. Father, in your name, Lord, yeah.
Enemies been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make your praises loud. Because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. 'Cause the enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy has been defeated. And death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
Hallelujah.
Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Yeah. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Hallelujah. Know what's happening now? This is called spiritual warfare. Some of you maybe heard that word and said, ooh, what is that? It scares me. You're just experiencing it. Nothing that's scary, but it's something that God does when we lift up our voice to God and say, God, you are bigger than anything I'm going through in my life. I'm going to refuse to be silent. I'm going to give you praise in spite of my situation. God, I'm going to see my walls coming down. I visualize through the Spirit of God, you are bringing walls down in my life. You're going to bring those things down, God. We're at spiritual warfare. As we're praising God in spite of that. And we're shouting unto God. Listen, there's a time to shout. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to shout unto God. And sometimes you just got to be tired of facing your walls. Say, God, I'm going to shout this wall down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to, by faith, God, I'm going to praise you in spite of my wall, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my issue, in spite of my condition, Lord. I'm going to praise you anyway. And when you do that, that releases something in your life that you have never experienced before. There's a new faith, a new faith and boldness of the Holy Spirit is coming alive in your life. And you can't help but change. That's a heart's desire, that we change. Not that we walk in here and leave and say, man, wasn't that a great service? I'm emotionally charged. That's great. But are you changing? That's the question. Are you changing? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to change you? Are we allowing the Spirit to change? That's the question we have to ask. They say, God, you are changing us. God, we're allowing your Spirit to do a work in my life. One more time. Let's just give God a hand clap of praise. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. God, we thank you, God, that you are doing so much in our midst, Lord. You're bringing down walls. You're taking us through issues, Lord. You're causing us to walk again. You're causing us to trust again. You're causing us to go deeper in you, Father. And Father, we are praying today, God, that we do not stop here. But God, today is just the beginning point, Lord, of overcoming the walls in our life as we give you praise and honor and glory to you. And the people of God say, amen, amen. Hug a neck before you leave today. Shake a hand. God bless you. Wednesday nights, we're praying here at 7 o'clock. Still praying right now for what God's going to do here. Come and join us for prayer from 7 to 8 on Wednesday nights. See you tonight.